every Wednesday at 9:30 is must listen to radio. John McClain joins us from Houston. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Oh, doing fantastic. We've just been sitting here in Nashville waiting to see what our football team's going to do free agency-wise, and they've made a couple. But watching down in Houston, the Texans have been pretty busy.
They have been. They got busy right before before free agency by re-signing some of their players. What they're trying to do is load up on defense because they went from a last-place schedule. Now they play a first-place schedule. Not only do they play 11 games against teams that had winning records, but they play against Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, Tua Tagovailoa, Jordan Love, Jared Goff, Caleb Williams, and Trevor Lawrence, and the quarterbacks in the division, of course. And so they got to load up on defense, and that's what they've done. And Danielle Hunter, who's from Houston, he was the big get at 16.5 sacks last year. In the last four seasons he's played, he's averaged 12.4. The guy they let go, Jonathan Greenard, who went to Minnesota, we all knew he was gone because they weren't going to pay him what he wanted. And so he had 12.5 sacks. So it's like it was a one-on-one trade. And then they got your guy, Azeez Al-Shaair, who led the Titans in snaps and tackles, and he was reunited with D'Amico Ryans. Rand Carthon wanted him bad last year because he knew what he brought to the table, not only on the field, but what a great leader he was and what good fit he was for creating culture. And I'm sure he had a very, very positive influence. So he wanted to come with D'Amico. So they signed him. So they got some other guys, you know, getting D'Amico Autry. You know, I wrote that in 3 years he'll sign with the Jaguars so he can complete his AFC South tour. Because, you know, I've watched him torment the Texans from the Colts and from the Titans. And it's interesting, you know, he's older, but having 11.5 sacks and also averaging 9 over his last 4 years. Texans haven't met anybody came close to that, including Greenard. So they've elevated their defensive line, which was a goal, and I've been targeting pass rusher throughout the mock drafts I've started, is that they would go for a pass rusher, but now they won't have to. I'm leaning more toward cornerback, but they also boosted their special teams and traded punters. They let Cam Johnston go to Pittsburgh, and they signed the Chiefs' Tommy Townsend. So they've made a lot of moves, and I think they're not through. And as far as the Titans, I loved what the Titans did. And I'll tell you this about Tony Pollard.
Yeah.
When you have a running back who depends so much on his wheels and he has surgery on his knee, usually, not always, but usually they're better in their second season back. And so that's why I think they're going to get the Tony Pollard who played before his knee injury, not the Tony Pollard last year who went down in a lot of stats. Now, he went up in yards, but a lot of the metrics, so to speak. I think that was a really good signing, and he and Spears will be a nice complement to each other. Of course, everybody around the league loves a Cushenberry signing. And it's going to be tough for Carthon and Brian Callahan. Do you take the best tackle or do you take one of the best receivers? And I come back to what Al Davis always said. He always wanted players who scored touchdowns first, and he could fill in with the rest. But you could have Joe Alt, I guess, who's the best offensive lineman, and imagine Alt to go with Cushenberry and Skoronski between them. I know where they'd be running the ball all the time to the left side. Or do you take a great playmaking receiver, assuming one's there? But that's a great problem to have, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That's all you got to decide is two great offensive players. And so, and Awuzie, getting him and Murray, they're both instant starters. So not a lot of teams can say they got four instant starters, and the Titans have.
Yeah, and more on Tony Pollard, you know, because watching the Cowboys like I have, I mean, he was I thought a good complimentary back to Ezekiel Elliott, and then Zeke leaves. He takes over, goes over 1,000 yards last year. You mentioned, you know, battling from the injury. But I just feel like he's going to be such a great fit for the offense that Brian Callahan wants to run. He can catch the ball better than Derrick Henry could. He can run routes. And now that you have two backs that can do that, there's a lot of different creative plays that you can do.
Yeah, keep this in mind. Wade Callahan liked to throw the ball to Joe Mixon, and I forgot about Joe Mixon. Texans traded a seventh for him. But the way Callahan liked to throw him the ball, and Tony Pollard, I looked it up, had 55 catches last season. So he's going to figure prominently in what Callahan wants to do with the back. Of course, Spears can catch. So they've given themselves more versatility, and I think it's going to turn out to be a really good move. And you'll see his average per carry improve from 4 yards, because his previous seasons he was 5.2 and 5.5. And his worst with the Cowboys was 4.3. And he was 5.3 as a rookie. So I think what we're talking about on a guy being back, you'll see him be a little quicker, a little more sure of himself. And a lot of that is subconscious. I've had players tell me that for decades. You know, they don't see it, but then their teammates and coaches see it, that, oh, man, what you were doing the year before, you're doing again. So that's going to turn out to be a really good deal. And he's averaged 7.5 yards per catch during his career, and that's good.
John, on the ESPN Top 100 free agents that are still out there, only one quarterback is left. Ryan Tannehill comes at number 68 on that list. What do you think is a good spot for Ryan Tannehill? And it could be as a starter or possibly a backup, because it seems Tannehill, John, might have a lot of options now.
Titans.
Excuse me. I think that's going to depend now on the draft. Like, does Minnesota, does Denver, does Minnesota going to be able to get a quarterback to replace Kirk Cousins? They got to have a quarterback. You got a head coach who was an offensive coordinator. You know, that's important on that side of the ball. Do they draft a guy? Do they bring him in as a bridge quarterback? Denver's got to have a quarterback. I would imagine that Sean Payton is going to like a guy like Tannehill, who's really smart. And remember, Ryan's best when you're running play action. You got to have a good running game for it to work for Tannehill, because he's not the kind to drop back and just throw it all the time and win it on his own. He and Henry work so well together. They're kind of like bacon and eggs. And so he needs to go somewhere where they got a back and he can play the same style of offense while working with a younger guy to help develop him.
John, a lot of Cowboys fans, you're down in the great state of Texas, are not having it because they've signed basically nobody during this period. Is that a good or bad thing? I mean, maybe they're
Jerry's asleep,
waiting to see something. But what's your take on the Cowboys kind of standing pat during this first 3 days?
By the way, before I get into the Cowboys, I thought of a good team for Ryan Tannehill, Colts. Gardner Minshew went to the Raiders. They got a young quarterback he could work with, and Anthony Richardson. If he plays, they've got a great running back in Jonathan Taylor, and they believe heavily in running the football like Titans. And you know Anthony Richardson's going to run a lot. So I would think that if he went there and he played, because there's a chance Richardson with his style, unless he changes it, is going to get hurt, that would be an ideal matchup for Tannehill. As far as the Cowboys, you know, it's funny. Teams that win March usually don't win the Super Bowl, and that's tried and true formula. But the Cowboys, it looks like they've gone to the extreme. Like they've said, okay, we're going to sit on our hands and watch how much attention we get for doing this. They did re-sign their snapper, so that's the move they've made. Now, there's still a lot of players out there. There's a lot of safeties. There's still pass rushers. There's players at every position other than really quarterback. And that's not a position they're looking for. So they could end up signing 3 or 4 guys, and they've let some guys go. Dan Quinn, their defensive coordinator, went to Washington as head coach, and he signed at least 2 or 3 guys off their defense. Maybe one of them was on offense. I can't remember. And you can't replace them all in the draft. So I'm guessing they will target guys to help replace the players they lost. But right now, they're getting killed because they've done nothing. It's not like they've re-signed a couple of players or they have signed a couple from other teams. I mean, they've done nothing. It'd been better than – they probably should not have re-signed the long snapper because they're getting so much grief for the fact that the long snapper is the only one they've brought back. So there's a lot of people that kind of get a lot of satisfaction from seeing the Cowboys get ripped.
John McClain is with us. If you're the Titans, Chase Young is supposedly going to visit this week. He's going to visit some other teams too. Former first-round pick, second overall pick. Didn't work in Washington, goes to San Francisco, doesn't really do anything. Would you take a flyer on him, or would you be weary?
You have to be wary of him, Chase. You have to be, because he's been a huge disappointment. But there's nothing like getting a guy on a one-year make it great. Texans have done that with cornerback Jeff Okuda, third overall pick. Highest cornerback's ever been taken is third overall. And he got hurt his first 2 years, played his third year, and then got traded to Atlanta, where he started 9 games last year. And they got him on a one-year make it great for $4.2 million. And so they're going to get the best he's got to offer, which will be something close to the talent he had coming out when he was asked. Rated player at his position, and or he'll be gone. And I think that you get a chance on Chase Young, and you get him for like $4.2 million. That's a heck of a deal. Usually, you know, it's low risk, high reward. If they had a chance to get him like that, I'd do it. If I'm him, I don't want a 2 year deal for like 10 or 15 million. I want 1 year and cash in. Look at what Baker Mayfield did. Did he cash in? Hell yeah, he cashed in.
It worked out very well for him. Another thing that I'm watching, John, is the Chargers are, by my count, about $25 million over the cap. They're going to have to release some guys before 4 o'clock Eastern this afternoon. There are other teams that might be in that boat, too. So do you feel like that GMs are kind of waiting to see, you know, if some good players get released because of cap casualties before they make some decisions?
That's always a possibility. Now, they can redo more contracts and just push the cap on down the road with the way it's gone up. And you think, well, it's not going to be as painful 3 years from now as it is now, so let's redo a couple more contracts. You saw the Chiefs save $21 million under the cap by redoing Patrick Mahomes. And usually when you're still waiting at this point, it's because you didn't want to get in that initial wave and have to pay the really big bucks. Could be because of your cap situation, or could be because your coach said, no, I don't want to spend that kind of money for him. He might not fit this system. That's the thing. When most mistakes are made in free agency is you take a guy from another team who's been really good, and then he comes into your system, he's not a good scheme fit. And that's something you have to consider, because early in free agency, that happened a lot. That guy, big a guy over here, is compiling big time stats. We'll get him, and then he was lost in yours. So that could have something to do with it as well.
John, a lot of Titans fans are now concerned about the backup quarterback, because you well know, John, a quarterback, if he's going to make all 17 games, boy, that's a long shot. Who do you like to see the Titans bring in at a backup quarterback? I know you mentioned earlier, and we agreed about Tannehill going to the Colts would be a nice fit, but any, you know, way that he comes back here, or would you just go ahead and find somebody else out there? Because the pickings now, John, are very slim.
You guys would know more about that than I would. I don't know if maybe they want Tannehill back. I can't imagine Brian Callahan wouldn't want him back, because he's a great team guy. He's been flexible. You know, he's played hurt. I mean, he's a good locker room guy. I'm not sure Frank Carthon thinks, well, we could do better, but the bottom line could be Tannehill wants to go. He wants to go somewhere and start over, or it could be he wants too much money for what they want to pay in that situation. But I would make every effort to keep him, because you know what you got. When you go after a player with another team, you may think you know, but you don't, unless you have somebody, say Brian Callahan had worked with somebody and he wanted that guy here. But I think Tannehill would be ideal to stay there and continue to work with Will Levis.
Yeah, that's a good point. John, yesterday, Titans fans were obviously upset that we knew Derrick Henry was moving on, but when you finally get the word and see it and know he's going to the Ravens, I mean, there was a lot of upset Titans fans in the area, and I understand them. And I wanted to ask you, in your time covering the league, has there been one player that you've covered, maybe on a team that got traded or went to another team, where the fan base was just so upset and emotional that it took it to a next level?
Absolutely. 1984, Earl Campbell, one of the greatest players and team is in NFL history, first ballot Hall of Famer. There have been rumors all through the offseason. Bum Phillips wanted him in New Orleans, and Bum was going to trade for him. Didn't happen before the draft, and Earl got off to a slow start in 84 because of a knee injury, and they traded him. And everybody knew it was coming, and everybody knew it was going to be Bum Phillips and the Saints. But when it happened, it was like a slap in the face, like reality's here. It actually has happened. It wasn't a dream. I'm sure fans there would rather see him get traded somewhere in the NFC. Fortunately, they don't have to play him. The Texans do. They can't get rid of him because they're playing the first-place schedule. And I think with him and Lamar Jackson doing the run-pass options, and it's going to just be a nightmare for defenses, because anytime you fake the ball to Henry, you've got to have multiple people there. And then Lamar tucks it, keeps it, takes off around the edge. That's going to be a dynamic duo. And I know Derek, he couldn't have gone to a better team because of that. The way they have to run the ball, they still have Justice Hill. I think that they could help extend his career by not giving him 300 carries. And it's just an ideal situation for a team that showed in the playoff loss when it couldn't run in the game. All of a sudden, they got away from their mantra of what helped them get there. He was a great addition for them.
John, great stuff as always. Going to be interesting over the course of the next few days as free agency continues, and then all focus shifts to the draft. But appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Guys, my pleasure. Thank you very much, as always.